150 years ago this weekend, a gathering of opera fans in Rome sat down to hear, for the very first time, the story of the troubadour Manrico, Leonora, the winsome lady-in-waiting, the jealous Count de Luna, and that most killjoy of gypsies, Azucena. This fiery quadrangle has endured in opera houses ever since. The opera, of course, is Il Trovatore, written by Giuseppe Verdi, and still considered one of the most powerful, romantic, and popular works of all time. David Patrick Stearns is a music critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and he joins us from the studios of WHYY in Philadelphia. David, thanks for being with us again.
Great to be here.
As we've said, this is a story that has almost a Hollywood serial quality to it, between a duel, a kidnapping, star-crossed lovers, fratricide.
You know, if somebody wants to make a case for opera being stupid, you could look at the plot of Il Trovatore and say, see, now that is a cheesy plot. But that's not the point. With Verdi, all the important information is concentrated into the vocal line, and everything else is pretty much secondary. And the plots may track in a very strange way, but they're a beautifully calculated series of emotional confrontations.
As plots go, it's a pretty complex cheese.
Oh, yeah. It's all about gypsies being burned at the stake because they're suspected of being witches, and children of, you know, small babies being accidentally switched, and the nobleman ending up with a gypsy's daughter, and nobody quite knows who he is, and he doesn't know who he is. And you can believe all that when you're in the middle of the music, and when you're, you know, really, you know, following the vocal line on a, you know, second-by-second basis.
Now, who, in your judgment, have been the greatest interpreters of Il Trovatore?
Well, mostly it's singers, you know, people like Robert Merrill and Jussi Björling, and, you know, Maria Callas made a very great recording of Il Trovatore. But what we're seeing now is the age of conductor's operas, in which, you know, the conductors are the driving force behind any given performance and production. One of the leaders in this is Riccardo Muti, who is the artistic director of La Scala. And he believes that if Verdi did not write a high note, you don't sing it. One of the prime examples of this anti-high note drive that Mr. Muti is on is the Aria di Calipura. The orchestra is working to climax the scene, and the tenor does not have his high note at the end. Now, I happen to think that Verdi came out of a tradition, a bel canto opera, in which the score, what was written down on the page, was just a blueprint. It was just the parameters of the singer's personality. And, you know, they would throw in cadenzas and high notes depending on how they felt that day, depending on what they could do that day. Mm-hmm. And, or perhaps depending on how hungry the audience was for high notes. And in a 1930 La Scala recording, the tenor, whoever he is, he was not particularly famous, threw in high notes at the end that probably the audience found to be quite thrilling.
I want to ask about the moment, though, when Manrico, the troubadour, is locked away in a tower, awaiting death, and his lover, Leonora, mourns the doom of their love. Annatella Bonatti is here singing Leonora.
Oh!
This is Mondrico singing from the tower, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Can hear his guitar there in the background.
And this is Luciano Pavarotti, isn't it?
It sounds like him.
To hear that, you really, even if you're antithetical to the narrative line, you feel your heartstrings being torn out of your chest.
Absolutely. And that's what Verdi is about. It's about overkill. It's not about politeness. It's about, on a certain level, vulgarity. And we love it because it's that way, you know? We love the fact that these singers make big sounds that, you know, aren't necessarily polite or graceful, but just to sort of, you know, as they say in New York, get you in your kishkas, you know? That's what it's about.
Why do we still listen to Verdi? And Il Trovatore in particular.
We listen to Verdi because his tunes have entire worlds of personality welded into them. They manage to be timeless melodies. At the same time, they also embody characters that we still identify with, even though we may not identify with their exterior, you know, the fact that a gypsy woman who is accused of being a witch, well, you know. But we connect with how she feels, because everybody knows what it is to lose a child, to have a parent killed unfairly and want to avenge that. You know, we can imagine how that feels, even if we personally do not know how that feels. And that's why we listen to Verdi, because that's the kernel of it.
David, thank you very much.
And thank you very much.
David Patrick Stearns is a music critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer, speaking from WHYY in Philadelphia. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.